Well, if you're smart, if you're thinking like a human being, wouldn't you just kind of be curious about that and say, hey, I noticed your email address. Will you be carting around your grandkids in the enclave? That's just a very simple way to show that I'm paying attention to you as a human being, trying to learn about you. I'm a human being responding as a human being to a human being. It could be something just as simple as that that makes the person go, oh, I actually have a human being listening to me. I'm ready to go a little deeper and go further with this particular employee.
And here we go again, against the odds. It doesn't take a genius. Here are Mark and Mike.
Ramsey!
Rant incoming.
Oh,
sorry,
rant.
I just wanted to go ahead and start us
whoop,
off right.
whoop, whoop. Danger, danger, rant incoming. Man, and this is not just a regular rant. This is a Ramsey rant. Right.
Yeah,
double R Ramsey rant. Woo,
that's
buckle
right.
In, buttercups. It's about to get rough.
Well, and I know, you know, you had we had one recently, and we're gonna have another one coming up that you're still I think you're sort of getting therapy about to make sure you can cover it in the right way. So we'll get there eventually. But I just had a really nice thing happen. And then I've been thinking about some negative things that have been happening. And I think I figured out something that our listeners, both of them, will care about immensely if they really do value loyalty of their clients. So will you permit me? Will you permit me, Mike?
I feel the incoming, treatise on the dichotomy of man, and I am on the edge of my seat.
I don't know that it'll be that good, but here's what's happened. Recently in the news, we've had a dust up over Kate Middleton's photo. So this is is she the Princess of Wales at this point? I don't know. Duchess of Wales? Is that the I don't know what she is, but
royalty.
British royalty.
Yeah,
royalty. British royalty.
Yeah.
I guess she's not been, in the public eye for a while. And so there's been some conspiracy theorists about that. And then she posted the royal office or what have you posted a photo of her with her kids on Mother's Day and or International Women's Day. I don't know. It all of this blends together with me. But the bottom line is people took this photo to task. It did not look right. Fingers were too long. Things were out of place. Hands were mispositioned. I will admit, when I was first introduced to this, I was on my phone and I was like blowing up the picture trying to go, I don't get it. I don't see it. And that's sort of my point is, like, to me, this is not a big deal. I do not understand. Like, leave the woman alone. Let's just let her live her life. But the bottom line is, it's possible that all of those things are true, that the photo was completely made up and doctored and Kate Middleton is desperately sick or dead or whatever is the latest conspiracy theory. She's a lizard person. I don't know what they are. But the idea that it is 100% technically possible that a completely doctored photo could be sent out and passed off as real. There has been an erosion of trust because of the possibility of AI and AI powered deep fakes getting our audio and our video and our still images completely false. They're just all, nothing can be trusted now that comes to you from the media. It just is, it's technically possible that all of it could be faked. So there is an erosion of trust. That's one of many reasons in our public institutions and in our big companies and our media organizations, because you know what? It's possible that they could fake all of this. So there is item one. I think there is an erosion of trust, partly because of people knowing that all this stuff could be faked at this point.
Well, I think you've made an amazing tie-in here that you probably aren't aware of, right? This all starts with the British. So think back early 1960s. Some of the Beatles album covers come out.
Yes.
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 John is dead.
John is dead.
Yeah, Paul. Right. Paul, he's no, Sergeant Pepper. Yeah, he's facing the wrong way. The White Album. Oh my gosh. You know, they're signaling us that one of these guys is been unalived. Yep. He's been yeeted from the band and from the earth. Right. So this is just the modern version, right? This is, if you think about it, this is all technology does is it makes it easier to do what we used to do. So we used to have to, like work really hard to make a photo that would communicate or miscommunicate, right, or create rumors. And yeah, I'm sure it took countless artists days. And now one guy with a DALL-E AI and a decent prompt can come up with a photo that creates all these conspiracy theories. So you're right. Everything, it kind of goes back to our previous episode. We talked about Genji Genbutsu. Right. And going to the source, and I find myself doing that more and more. If I see a small video clip, that makes somebody look racist or anti-Semitic or paints them in a bad light, then I'll do a quick search and go, okay, let me look at this unedited, right? And you go, that's not what he meant by that's not what he said, So yeah, become much more skeptical of video and photos and quotes and stuff like that. I saw a quote the other day that, 90% of what's true on the internet, 90% of what's on the internet is untrue. Abraham Lincoln, right. I have to Google this. I'm not sure that Honest Abe said this. So I do find myself right. But is that the exception? Are most people just taking things at face value and going,
thank you. I that to me is the issue, is that the images are so powerful and we're so busy and we keep scrolling that I take in that image and say, oh, now I know that that guy's a racist and that's imprinted on me. And I run with that. For this episode, I don't want to go down, the rabbit trail of Mark Ramsey and his thoughts about our culture at large. I think there's a lot of them, of thoughts, a lot of thoughts. But what I'm really thinking about is, what does that erosion of trust look like for the average client that you and I have? Mm-hmm. They are dealing with this, whether they like it or not, on a regular basis. And I'll give you a negative example. You can react to that, and then I'll give you a positive example. Negative experience that I had. I'm at a grocery store. I am checking out at one of the little single kiosks. It had recently been updated. It had this fancy new camera. I press the I'm ready to pay button, and it says, wait for cashier. I'm like, oh, what did I do now? The cashier comes over and says, oh, I see what happened. I had a return that was in my buggy. So just to make sure that everybody's connecting the dots here, the camera and its algorithm said this guy might be a shoplifter, and they finally sent over a human being to give me a chance to be filtered through as somebody who wasn't trying to rob. And and I have to say, like, you could spin that, right? Like, what a wonderful example of how a big corporation was preventing shrinkage and making sure that they weren't losing too much to theft, and it was a quick, painless check. But I have to tell you, it did not feel good. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I felt big brothered, and I didn't like it. I knew that I was being treated like one of the cows in the cattle yard that needed to be watched. So there's my negative story. That's partly why I'm ranting, is it just doesn't feel good. No, what I know about AI, deep fakes, et cetera, and what I see about interactions from the average corporation making use of it, it just doesn't feel good. I feel like a number, not a name. And I know that they're in some degree in their interactions with me, maybe faking it. It's like when you log onto a website and it says, hi, Mark. Not once have I in recent years been impressed by that? You know, it's been more like, yeah, I get it. You have to call me Mark. Okay, move on. So I think this is taking the average customer down a road where they're going to feel negative about it, about any interaction with your company that is technology supported in a system like this. For instance, the average chatbot. You know, they are AI powered nowadays, and it is super annoying. It's like working your way through a phone tree to get to the real answer that you wanted with a human being on a telephone call. Now we're having similar experiences on websites. So those are some of my rants. I've got a positive example. I don't want to end this on a bad note, but those are things that are happening that are just because of our low trust levels. They just do not feel good right now to interact with some of these technologies. Talk me off the ledge. You know, feel free to do that. But that's my rant.
Wow! Holy cow! Well, the first thing that I think of is we broke it. You heard it here first. Meghan Markle is a lizard person. I think you buried the headline, right? That's the key. That's the point right there. Right. Holy cow. She's probably got little gills behind her ears.
Oh, yeah. Total water world. Yeah.
So the other thing that you just made, you made a verb. Right, you took Big Brother and turned it into Brothered. I was Brothered. You've created a brand new verb. So another landmark, podcast first.
This will go down in history. Yes.
And so I am not going to make you feel any better. I'm actually going to double down on your pain. Right, because here's what's happened to you now, and you don't know it.
Yeah.
Walmart's facial recognition software has now categorized you as a risk of a shoplifter.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You've been profiled. Yeah. You had the little light come on. They had to come check your. And just for those of you keeping score in the rest of the world, a buggy is a shopping cart. Just
that's right.
If you're listening in the UK, a trolley, right? But yeah. So we're clear on the language. So the fact that you've now been, identified, yep. Right? And you're yep. in the software now that, you're probably going to see an above average number of times this happens to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get flagged and stopped and checked and they'll, maybe they got some system where they give you the one person who's watching the 12 checkouts, self checkouts, they give them a heads up. So they can give you the uh-huh. There he yep. is, international yep. shoplifter, Mark Ramsey.
Right.
Is that, cashier's checkout stand 4. So yeah, that to me, that's the part that's the scariest is you can get put on a list.
Yeah.
Never know you're on a list. And because you're not familiar with what everybody else is experiencing, you think the way you're being treated is normal.
And it's not. And we don't have time to talk about the Chinese social capital system and how they're flagged on going over bridges and stuff with their traffic cams by face. And I don't want to. Culture is a completely broad discussion that we could be having, but for the client, for the customer, this is right. it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it's depersonalizing. I remember we had this a long time ago when we got our first businesses got a digital newsletter, right? So you could create a digital newsletter and email it to people.
Yep.
And you got the email, you clicked on the link, you went to the digital newsletter. And I remember the first time we were sitting there, and in this case, it was a Buick store. And so we could tell, right, we'd get a report and it would tell us which customers had opened the email, which ones had gone to the newsletter, and then we could tell which articles the people were reading.
Yep.
And so we see a customer and they would say, this customer received an email and they read the article on the new Buick Enclave. They've read it 4 times. They've opened up and looked at that article for a total of 12 yep. minutes, right? I've even had yep. the time. And so then we were sitting there like, how do we, how do we contact this customer and just not cross the creepy line?
Right. Hey, I've been looking at that Buick.
Yeah, so you've been reading about the Buick four times. So, yeah, we pondered and pondered, like, okay, we know we have a customer who's interested, but we don't want to creep them out. So that, I don't know if this was a good approach, but the approach we came up with that seemed to keep us out of the creepy space was we would call and say, hello, we know that you're a Buick customer, and we wanted to make sure that you were aware of our new product, the Buick Enclave. Have you heard of it? Oh, really? I was just reading about it. You were? Fantastic. Have you driven one? Right. No, come on down. Right. So, but we knew before we called.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the creepy, discomforting part. We knew pretty much how the conversation was going to go.
Yeah.
We had information that the customer didn't have. And that was the earliest days of this. It's 1,000,000,000 times worse now.
Right. And I don't, you know, if it was just something like that, where we're trying to serve the customer better, right? Like we're, you know, this, you could spin it, right? You could spin it, but it just, like, the more you feel like the system is depersonalizing you, to use your word, I think that's a good word. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't feel good to be depersonalized. You know, it takes away a little bit of your dignity. So, mm-hmm. So that's the concern. Now, I've got a flip side. I've got a flip side.
Okay.
I'll tell you a good story.
All right. We'll go towards the light.
So the local health food store has been there since the 80s, I think. Happy Meadow. Happy to give them a little bit of a plug. My grandmother purchased seaweed chips there back in the day. I mean, like, this place is like, it's old school food store.
It's not in a Happy Meadow.
I will explain. It is named Happy Meadow. The owner happens to be Mr. and Mrs. Gailey. And aww, if you will take a moment to think about that, their name is a Gailey, a Happy Meadow, and hence the name of the business. They're just wonderful people. Anyway, the point here is that I was in the store, and I you know, sort of fairly recently moved back to the town I grew up in and went to Happy Meadow for some coffee beans. And Mr. Gailey saw me, and he said, you are one of the Ramseys, right? And I was like, yes, sir. I'm Mark. And, you know, so we reconnected. We had, you know, he has kids a little bit younger than mine. And so we were just talking. I turned back around, and I was at the checkout, and the kiosk said, welcome, Mark. And I was like, oh, did I scan my loyalty card? Did I give my phone number to the cashier? I didn't do anything. I said, how did it? And then I looked at the cashier, and she was smiling. She had just caught the fact that I had mentioned that my name was Mark Ramsey, and went ahead and plugged me in the system, saved me, 10 seconds of process, right? And I have to tell you, even in the moment, I just realized that that's the first time in years that I've seen my name show up as a customer and been impressed. You know, it's because this human being was listening, heard my name, and went ahead and put me into the system so I get my points or whatever, and was an actual human being connecting with an actual human being. It felt pretty good. I'm not saying it made me a lifelong Happy Meadow customer. I'm not saying that this is the deal, you know, saver, but that was a positive interaction, and it finally hit me. And this is sort of the thing I want to leave our customers, our listeners with as they think about their customers, is you can do that every day. You can talk to a human being. It could be over the phone. It could be on email, but you could talk to a human being and treat them like a human being. And I'll give a quick automotive example. You're emailing a customer who is interested in a Buick Enclave, like you said, and their email address happens to say, you know, grandma23@yahoo.com. Well, if you're smart, if you're thinking like a human being, wouldn't you just kind of be curious about that and say, hey, I noticed your email address. Will you be carting around your grandkids in the enclave. That's just a very simple way to show that I'm paying attention to you as a human being, trying to learn about you. I'm actually, I'm a human being responding as a human being to a human being. It could be something just as simple as that that makes the person go, oh, I actually have a human being listening to me. I'm ready to go a little deeper and go further with this particular employee. It could be something as simple as that. I just think we have a million chances to have a human-to-human interaction that is going to make us just so set apart from the average flow of the average corporation that's doing all sorts of very fancy things with AI, but can't prove that it was a human being connecting with a human being when they do those things. That's, I think, the advantage that we can offer our clients. So I've said my piece, Mike. I will shut up.
I think you raise an interesting point. Where does it, kind of the same example as before, where does it cross the line? Because as I'm thinking of your story, I'm thinking about the Ritz-Carlton example. So you pull up at the Ritz-Carlton, they offer to get you your bags out of the trunk. So when the bellhop guy is getting the bags out of your trunk, he checks your luggage tag, and then he gets on the radio, he gets on the horn, and he lets the bellman, and he lets the door guy, and he lets the registration desk know that Mr. Mark Ramsey, wearing a gray suit with patches on his elbows for some reason, is making his way to the front desk.
Right.
And then as you walk past the doorman says, "Welcome, Mr. Ramsey." And you're like, "I've never been here. This is so cool." And you get to the front desk and they're like, "Mark, welcome. We have your room ready."
Yep.
Right. So is the use of that technology, right? Is that depersonalizing it?
I believe yes. And I'll tell you why, because you and I both have stayed in Ritz-Carlton's for work. I don't, regularly vacation at Ritz-Carlton, but I've been there for work many times. And, one of the things that I think you and I have probably noticed is that sometimes that radio relay happens and the person at the front desk doesn't do anything with it. That's pretty like meh. Sometimes they mention you by name, but then they... I mean, it's just part of the process, right? They're not actually doing anything special with it. It's not like they're recognizing me as a human being. Now, I have been upstairs at the Ritz-Carlton getting service from some of the regular employees who take care of, beverages and so on in the conference rooms. And they, in some cases, have known my name, but more often than not, they just know my face because they've seen me at other training events. And they say, they their face brightens up. "Hi, how are you? I haven't seen you in a month," or whatever it is that they say. That was a human connection, right? That was an actual human connection. The radio relay of, make sure you mention his name. I don't think that's all that impressive. Maybe it was at one point, just like it was cool when Amazon, when you logged on, it said my name and said, "Here's some books you might be interested in." That was cool for a while. And I don't know that it impresses me now. That used to maybe, but it doesn't impress me now. An actual human being saying, I connect with you. That's something that's noteworthy.
Well, you're tying your first point in with your second point is that it has to be authentic. It has to feel real.
Right.
And we can augment the experience with too much technology and that takes away from it. The town I used to live in, this was years ago. I would call Pizza Hut, and back then I was a fairly regular consumer of the Italian pie from the Pizza Hut. Amen. And they had the caller ID they had some computer system, so when I would call them, apparently a screen would pop up in front of them with my history on it, and they'd answer the phone, "Hey, is this Mike?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they'd go, "Hey, you having your usual?" And the first time you had to ask, like, "What's my usual?" "Well, you get pepperoni, mushroom, and sausage with extra cheese." I'm like, "I will be having my usual." And I remember at some point early in the transaction, this was when they started delivery, the guy goes, "I've got your address, but I'm not sure where that's at. Can you tell me where you're at?" I said, "Oh, yeah. I'm located just across from the big tree. You know, and he's like, the big tree. Yeah, that helps a lot, smart aleck. You know, so the next time I called, right, he's like, hey, Mike, you having your usual? Yep. You still live out there by the big tree? And I'm like, yep, haven't moved. And he's like, we'll be there in 30 minutes. You know, I knew he got help.
You know, right,
There was a computer helping the guy.
Yeah.
But I really didn't mind. I ordered more pizza because, you know, well, two reasons. One, it was an enthusiastic interaction, right? It felt like somebody wanted to be there. And it was frictionless. I didn't have to re-explain how to get to my house. I didn't have to explain what pizza I wanted and how I wanted it. I didn't have to, you know, they eliminated all this friction of the interaction. And yeah, I ordered a lot of pizzas there.
Totally. And that's taking notes, right? Like if I was going to be opposed to taking notes, I'd be telling you that the technology of a notepad was a bad idea. And that's not what I'm saying at all. It's that depersonalizing, you know, if he didn't have enthusiasm when he talked to you, you know, it would have been seamless, but it wouldn't have been nearly as fun. Right.
Oh no, no.
You know, and hey, go a step further on that. There have been many stories in the news about somebody whose life was saved because the local pizza delivery folks were like, we haven't seen Bertha here in like 2 days. You know, she's a regular. And they send somebody to her apartment to check on her. And Bertha's like lying on the floor with a broken hip. Like this has happened many, many times where it's been a news story. And guess what? Those are human to human connections. You know, that actually worked. You know, where is Bertha? Where has she been? So, yeah, I'm not anti-technology at any rate. I'm more thinking about when we depersonalize and ruin the chance to connect with a human being. So I think that's an advantage that most of our clients can make use of is, you know, what's that thing you need to put in your notes system to say, ask her about, you know, her grandson's T-ball. You know, or, you know, notice the license bracket on the back of their, you know, vehicle and, you know, make a comment about the, you know, the sports team that they're interested in. Whatever it is, there's something we can do to show that we're a human being paying attention to the other person being a human being. I think that's it has always been important. It will now stand out more and more as we go further down this road of trust being eroded by some of these bigger systems. So that is, my rant is done. I will quit now.
Well, I'm glad you could lay on the, it doesn't take a genius couch and get that out. that's what we're here for. That's why we exist. And I think you're right. I think as you see more and more businesses move to the kiosk and the automatic fulfillment of orders and things like that. Yeah, you can have a fully engaged, enthusiastic, knowledgeable person to talk to your customers, you will win. You'll win, right? You'll beat the kiosk hands down.
Yeah.
But an average experience versus a machine, I prefer the machine. You know, somebody who's just dialing it in.
No, wait, Mike, we're getting into your rant. That's a future episode. I know that's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be huge. So, all right. You make some very good points. I think, we have to be a little more diligent, but I think we also have to be more appreciative of the interactions we have that do feel genuine and that come from the heart.
True.
Excellent. And speaking from the heart.
Oh, so true.
We have our announcer, the always amazing, the warm, the empathetic, the compassionate, Mr. John Wolf. Take it away, Mr. Wolf.
So go ahead and tweet that or share it any other way you want. As always, there are no rights reserved, no trademarks, no copyrights. Share it if you want to. And join us next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius.
That's good enough.